Hello, I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. This podcast homily is first in a series of 7 podcast homilies for Epiphany season. Listeners may benefit from the AIC seasonal video series Epiphany, the Manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, which is presented in 3 episodes, each linked from the digital library page with the MP3 podcast versions linked from the podcast archive page at our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. The series offers a brief history of the evolution of Epiphany season, Anglican traditions of Epiphany, and commentary on the Collect Epistle and Gospel readings for Epiphany Day and the 6 Sundays after the Epiphany in the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. The Collect Epistle and Gospel readings for Epiphany Day are discussed in Episode 2. The 1928 Book of Common Prayer gives the feast its proper title, the Epiphany, or the Manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. In Koine Greek, the common language of most Christians at the time of the writing of the New Testament, the words from which Epiphany comes are epiphania, or in the verb form, phaneros, which means to shine forth or to show forth. Another related Greek word which also helps understand the meaning is phanos, which means light, or specifically a lantern. With this understanding, the celebration of Epiphany as a shining forth of Christ to the broader world follows logically from the celebration of the Nativity of our Lord, honoring His coming into human history on Christmas Day. On the Anglican Church calendar, Epiphany is a fixed feast. It always occurs on January 6th, the day after the 12th day of Christmas, January 5th. In an ideal world, there should always be a separate service for Epiphany Day when January 6th falls on a day other than Sunday. The reality is that most Christian communities, not just Anglicans, but also those of most other denominations, do not celebrate Epiphany Day unless January 6th actually falls on a Sunday, as it will in 2019 AD, but will not be repeated again until 2030 AD. This podcast homily offers an opportunity to hear an Epiphany homily in years when there is no local service on January 6th. The epistle reading for Epiphany Day, Ephesians 3:1-12, offers instruction on the central importance of the feast. In it, St. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, reminds the Ephesians in verses 3 and 4 how he had been given uniquely a revelation of, quote, the mystery of Christ, unquote, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. In verse 6, St. Paul wrote that the Gentiles, quote, should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, close quote. The clear meaning is that the salvation of God through Jesus Christ is now available not just to the chosen people Israel, but also to the broader world, the Gentiles. The second half of the pericope, verses 7-12, includes in verse 10 one of the earliest references to a new church from the Greek ecclesia, which means a place set apart for worship. The quotation includes his summation in verse 11, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The same message is conveyed in the traditional gradual and alleluia verses placed between the epistle and the gospel reading for Epiphany Day. These verses, which are from Isaiah 61-6, provide context for the gospel reading for Epiphany Day. All they from Sheba shall come, and the response, they shall bring gold and incense. Gold as to a mighty king, and the response, mirror to foreshadow his burial. The response, Alleluia. The Gospel lesson for Epiphany Day, Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12, is St. John's unique account of the, quote, wise men from the east, unquote, in verse 1, also known as the Magi, which refers to wise scholars and not to practitioners of any form of what we might call today the black arts or sorcery. These were men who understood and could explain the mysteries of the world. Some scholars call them astrologers. They speak in verse 2, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Here, east may have meant Persia, which is present-day Iran. As he does throughout his Gospel, St. Matthew places these events in the context of the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. He suggests in verse 4 that Herod feared a rival. "Thus it was written by the prophets," the quotation, refers to Micah 5, verse 2, concerning one who would come out of Bethlehem, or a governor who will shepherd my people Israel. In other translations and in the English prayer book tradition, governor is rendered as ruler. Having heard Herod's charge in verse 7 to go to Jerusalem, find the child, and report back his whereabouts, St. Matthew implies in verses 8 and 9 that the wise men believed Herod's stated desire to, quote, come and worship the child were not honorable. The alarmed wise men did indeed follow the star to Jerusalem, where they found the child in a manger and with him his mother. St. Matthew does not mention St. Joseph. He says in verse 11 that they, quote, fell down and worshiped him. In the same verse, he notes that they brought presents befitting a king, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In Christian teaching and in church music for Epiphany season, these three gifts brought by the Magi are understood as symbols which fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah 60, verse 6, which is read in many Anglican liturgies for Epiphany: "The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." In the mid-4th century, in France, St. Hilary of Poitiers, known as the Athanasius of the West, interpreted the three gifts in this way. His interpretation inspired many later-day hymn writers: gold as a symbol of royalty and an acknowledgement that Christ is King. Frankincense, used in worship by both the Jews and Christians as acknowledgement of his deity. And finally, myrrh, a fragrant substance often used in ceremonial burial as a foretelling of his death upon the cross and his burial by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. St. Matthew also tells us in verse 12, the final verse of the pericope, that these wise men were warned in a dream by God not to return to Herod. And of course, the dream was spoken by an angel. The dream warning is one of several important dream sequences found in St. Matthew's Gospel, including the advice to Joseph in Matthew 2, verse 13, to flee to Egypt, and the advice in verse 2:20 that it was time to return to Jerusalem. That these wise men were Gentiles or non-Jewish is proven by St. Matthew's observation in verse 12 that avoiding Herod, they went home to, quote, their own country, unquote. Other AIC resources on topics discussed in this podcast homily for Epiphany Day are available at our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.com. Seasonal videos and Christian education videos are linked from the digital library page, with Bible study videos linked from the Bible study page, and podcast versions of all three linked from the podcast archive page. Information about pricing, ordering, and the availability of Kindle editions of AIC Bookstore publications is available using the virtual bookstore link at the bottom of the homepage. First, the 12 Days of Christmas, a seasonal video series presented in 12 episodes from First Day of Christmas, December 25th through 12th Day of Christmas, January 5th, offers a theological theme word or phrase for each day and seasonal music for each day. In the discussion of the key word angels for ninth day of Christmas, January 2nd, there is more on the phrase principalities and powers in the heavenly places mentioned by St. Paul in Ephesians 3:10. The series title illustration is a 12th century fresco of the Adoration of the Magi from the Cappadocia region of Asia Minor. New Testament Gospels, a multi-episode Bible study video series. The Gospel reading for Epiphany Day is discussed and illustrated in Episode 3. The Lives of the Saints, second series, a multi-episode Christian education video series. Episode 29 is focused on Leo the Great. Joseph of Arimathea, including his part in the burial of Jesus, is the subject of Episode 19. The St. Chrysostom Hymnal, an AIC bookstore publication, includes traditional Epiphany hymns and carols not found in the venerable 1940 hymnal. The closing prayer for Epiphany Day is the collect for the Octave of Epiphany in the 1928 Book of Common Prayer, a composition from the 1549 Book of Common Prayer by Archbishop Thomas Cranmer, based on a modified version of the Gregorian Sacramentary. Inspired by the imagery of the wise men led by a star, Archbishop Cranmer added the spiritual interpretation of the Christian faith in God, by faith in God. O God, who by the leading of a star didst manifest thy only begotten Son to the Gentiles, mercifully grant that we, who know thee by faith, may after this life have the fruition of thy glorious Godhead, through the same thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church. We invite you to visit our website and make use of its resources at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.